Let's get into the Word this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18 as we're continuing our series in the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into the Word together. Father, we love you. Pray that you open up our eyes and our ears to hear what you're saying. Lead us, Lord. Change us. Fix us. Heal us. Lord, direct us. We need you. And we ask that you just bless this time in your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 18, we're down to the last six chapters of Luke, and chapter 9, Jesus has been making his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross, and as he's going, he's been telling his disciples stories about life, how to live when he's not here. Because if you haven't noticed, Jesus is gone, right? Now we have the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is not here. He's left the building. But he's here in his spirit. So until that time, as he's getting ready to go to the cross, he's given his disciples a heads up about what to do when he's not around. How to live, how to think, how to make wise decisions. And he knows that when he leaves and he's crucified, it's going to start a series of events that goes from really bad for worse for the disciples. As you guys know, they were all martyred. After Jesus' crucifixion, there was a resurrection. And everybody was stoked and everybody was on fire because they saw Jesus beaten, crucified, buried, and then on the third day he rose again. And you know what? If you ever saw your best friend beaten, crucified, and rose again, and conquered death, that would get you so excited. You'd be so stoked. You'd be like, there is no more death. I have no fear. Everything is good. God's in control. But Jesus knew that once he left, and he wasn't there personally in physical sense, that after that, the disciples were going to have a period of time in their life where they're getting persecuted, they're getting crucified, their kids are getting punked in school, they're getting punked at their job, they're getting bullied, they're getting disconnected from society because they label themselves a Christian and then they love the Lord. And so when you get into chapter 18 of Luke, it's all about prayer, because what Jesus knew and what he wanted the disciples to get is that life will get messy from when he left and when he's going to return, right? In the middle of that is life. You're going to get married. Some people get divorced. You're going to have kids. You're going to make money. You're going to lose money. You're going to go from one career to another. You're going to have all these different dynamics that are happening in your life. And what happens all through that is really a mess. And so what Jesus does is he says, listen, you can do one or two things. You can pray about it when you're going through it, or you can freak out about it and give up on it altogether. Because really, that's really the two options that we face, isn't it, when things get hard. We kind of default one way or another. We go to the Lord in prayer, or we isolate and we get away from the Lord. And we lock ourselves up in our houses or in our rooms or away from people, or we don't want to be around anybody, or we don't want to have contact with people when we're going through those seasons that are difficult. And so Jesus tells his disciples that instead of giving up, he wants them to pray about it. There's an old saying that says, when your knees are shaken, that's the time to kneel on them. And so Jesus says in verse 1, that he gives a parable about prayer. And it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Now, in your translation, it might say he gave them a parable not to faint or grow weary or something like that. I like the NIV right there because they get it right. It means don't give up, to pray and never give up, to always pray. Always pray. Think about that. How do you always pray? All the time. Nonstop. And you know, it's really kind of, I was thinking about, for me, sometimes I get difficult phone calls with people. You know, it's, you would think as a pastor that your days are spent with people calling you, telling you how blessed they are, how much bonus they got this week. You know, they got a new max on the bench press. It's all good. Everything's going good. But really, a lot of the time, what you're getting is phone calls of hurt and pain and confusion. And I know for me that sometimes when you're talking with people, one way of praying all the time is that when you're talking with somebody and they just want to hang out with you and they just want to talk and they're looking for some guidance, is you're talking to the Lord as you're talking to them. Have you ever done that? Lord, give me the words to say. Lord, give me a verse that I can give to this person that's hurting. And then you start playing, man, I know they're going to have this question. If God's so good, then why did this bad thing happen? What's the right answer for them? How am I going to bring peace? How am I going to bring comfort? And so, you know, just by talking with people, at the same time, you can be talking with the Lord. You know, when we do worship, do you guys listen to worship music besides coming to church on Sunday? Well, you need to. And here's why. Because you want to fill your mind up with things of the Lord. You want to fill your heart up with songs of the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Man, I'm all about Def Leppard. I get that. But you know, there's another type of music when we're worshiping the Lord, that when we're worshiping the Lord, and remember this, the next time we do worship, you're singing a prayer from your heart to God. And that's another way that we can pray and never grow weary, is we're singing to the Lord. We're talking to the Lord, you know, on the way to go talk to somebody. Sometimes at night when you just lay your head down and you've had an exhausting day, and you just thank the Lord. Thank you, God, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for giving me strength to my body. Thank you, Lord, for maybe for another day that you've given me work to do by my hands. Because work is such a blessing. There's so many people that wish, they're in a hospital bed right now, that wish they could go to work. And here every day, some of us go to work, and what do? We complain about it. But the reality of it is it's a blessing. And so what Jesus is doing, he's saying, listen, Instead of growing weary and giving up, because that's the default position, is we do grow weary and we do give up. And sometimes too, when people they'll talk and they'll say how many crazy things are going on in their life, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it. And I'll ask them, "Did you pray?" I know it sounds so simple, but the question is, when you're freaking out and you're going nuts, and we all do it, you got to hit the brakes and just ask for a second before you start looking for help from somebody else, before you start freaking out on somebody else for what they did, or whatever's going on in your world. You have to stop and say, hey, did I stop and pray? Because, you know, we don't have time for that. I got to get this fixed. I got to figure this out. But no, God says, listen, the first thing that we need to do is pray, and pray all the time. You know, whether it's singing to the Lord or you're just talking to the Lord about, you know, things in your life and people that God's connecting you with. He says it's given him a parable to pray and not give up. And he said in verse 2, a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because of this widow, she keeps bothering me. I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. This is crazy. So what Jesus is doing, he's giving this parable about prayer and how we need to pray. And one of the things about that, when we're talking about praying or quitting, is that one of the things we want to remember about prayer is the answer to the question, why do we need to pray? Well, number one, we need to pray because Jesus said so. Now, if you've ever had kids and you told them to do something, have you ever heard them be like, why? Any of your kids do that? I want you to finish your homework. I want you to eat your dinner. I want you to clean your bedroom, right? And then the next thing is, well, why? And I remember they would always do that, our kids. Well, why? And then I got to the point where I just said, because I said so, that's why. Just do it. If I tell you to do it, just do it. And Jesus is, number one, the reason why we pray is because Jesus says to pray. And how many times have you guys done the opposite of what the Lord told you to do, and how did it work out? It never works out very good. So when the Lord tells us to do something, we need to do it. We need to put it into practice, right? Because the Lord tells us to pray. Number two, here's another reason why we pray, and this one's so important, is because prayer, check this out, it opens the door to provision for God providing for you. God wants to provide for you through provision. Like, let's look at it like this. Do you know that at Walmart, you can call in your order at the grocery store, and it's called clip and ship or something? Like, you can go and pick it up. You call everything in, and they get it all ready, and then you're parked in stall number four like a horse, and they bring out your food, right? And you're sitting there waiting for your food to come. But check this out. What would happen if you called up Walmart and you're like, yeah, I want prime rib, get me a turkey, some of them Oreos, that's good too. Jolly Ranchers are nice, hook me up on that. Diet Pepsi too, because I'm on a diet, but don't forget the Reese's, right? So you call this stuff in and it's ready for you and you just stay at home. You don't go pick your order up. It's there ready, everything's there for you, but you don't go and get it. Could you ever imagine doing something so foolish as to have you set up and all you got to do is to go and get it and you don't go and get it and you just stay at home? When I say that prayer opens the door to provision, what's happening is a lot of us are not receiving what God has for us because we don't even ask Him. How do I know? James chapter 4, verse 2. What did James say? You have not because you ask not. So when you say, I just want to know God's will for my life, I don't know what it is, I'm so confused, you have not because you ask not. I just need some direction. I don't know what to do. I don't know if this is the right way to go. I don't know if this is the right thing to do. And we have these questions about God's will for our life. We have these questions about how we're going to make it. We have questions, why does this keep happening to me over and over and over again? When you get in those seasons, it's like it doesn't stop and it keeps going. And I'm not sure what's going on in it. And I don't know why it keeps happening. Well, when we're talking about direction for our life and confusion about those things, what the Lord tells us through His Word is that you have not because you ask not. And I got to remind myself of this. I'm actually preaching to me this morning, but we don't have because we're not asking. And you know, sometimes, as we're going to see, this parable is not a comparison of God, but a contradiction of God. Now, how many of you, and sir, it's okay, raise your hand if this is you. You've read this story before about the judge and the widow, and she's coming to the judge, and you thought it was a picture of God and us. Have you ever thought that? That God is the judge, and we're like this widow coming to the judge to get help. It's actually a contradiction, not a comparison. Because when we come to the Father, we don't come to Him like this widow shaking our fist and demanding. We see it. She comes to the judge and she's like shaking her fist. She's like, you better give me help against my adversary. And you know what's interesting about that? Is that Jesus is not saying that God our Father is like a father who has a kid that doesn't shut up and doesn't stop pestering, and then finally the dad gives in and just says, fine, I'll do it. Samantha used to do that with me when she was a baby with milk. That kid was like crack on milk. That she loved milk. Like, it was scary. 3 years old, how much this kid loved milk. And she would look at me and say, get milk. And I'd be like, I'm not getting you milk, not with you talking to me like that. And she'd have her little blanket and her little sippy cup. And then she would throw her cup, get milk. And I'm like, I'm not getting milk, I'm not going to do it. And she wouldn't shut, get milk, get milk, get milk, get milk. And finally, I'm just like, fine, I'm going to get the milk, I'm going to get the milk. And I go and I get her the milk and I give it to her so that she would shut up. I mean, I wasn't probably the best parent. I should have spanked her and just put her in her room and locked the door. But the kid would just wear me down with this, get milk. And I started looking at this parable. And sometimes we think that when we read this story about being persistent in prayer, that it kind of means that we have that boldness where we come to God and we say, get me it. And that's not what Jesus is saying. Because in the contradiction of it, we're nothing like this woman. We're children of God who has a loving Father who knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we got to have it. And sometimes there's going to be times where you're praying, where I'm praying, and we're persistent in it, and nothing seems to happen. And we're like, man, what's going on, God? You said to be persistent. That's the point. Be persistent in prayer, but I'm praying and nothing seems to move. Has that ever happened? Where you just, in fact, if I look over my life, it seems like the stuff that I've prayed for has not happened more than it did. But I can always tell you, looking back, it was always the better, the way God did it, than I asked him to do it. Always. And you can look at your life too and remember that there's things in your life that you've can look back on and say, oh, I see now. I understand now. And thank God, he's not a father that gives you what you want because you shook your fist and you demanded it more than 50,000 times. Could you imagine that? I don't want God to give me what I want. I have wanted to get God to give me what I want, and I thank God that he didn't give it to me when I asked him to do it. But we want to come to God in a sense of humility, and we're going to see that in asking God, saying, hey, whatever your will, I don't know what's going on, and I think it should go this way, but I'm not sure. Really what I want to do is I want to pray it in your name that you do what you want to do in this situation. And every time you pray that way, you remember what Jesus told the disciples? That if you pray for anything in my name, I will grant it to you. You will get it. The check is cashed. You've got it. But the stipulation of it is in his name, in his will. See, God's got provisions. God's got a plan. And it's like in this cloud, if you're thinking of it in terms of the internet. Like you got this cloud with all this stuff in it. And all you got to do is ask God for him to give it to you according to his plan. And guess what? He does it. But he wants you to come and ask. You have not because you ask not. And so what we want to do when we're praying, we want to ask God to provide, right? We want to ask for him to do what he's going to do. And we want to make sure that we're praying about everything. Not just big things, but small things. Because sometimes small things can turn into big things, right? And so Jesus gives him this parable about praying with persistence. And it says that the woman, she goes to a judge to get help for her adversary. Now check this out, just a little history lesson. This is kind of cool. What would happen is there was two types of judges in Israel. One type of judge was the judge of the people. That was the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the scribes. They were like the judges. So if you had a problem spiritually and you're like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm losing respect for my husband. And then the husbands are like, you know what? It's so hard to love my wife. I don't know what to do. And they would go to these judges. They would seek counsel. They would get wisdom. Or if they had a problem in business, they would go to their judges, their people, the Jewish judges, right? But then there was a different type of judge who was put in place by Rome to travel. He would go from Depot Bay to Lincoln City to come on down to Newport because there was no courthouses. And so before he got to each city, there was a list of people that had grievances, and you had to get on this list so when the judge came to town, you know, he could see your case and resolve it. So this widow, she couldn't even get on the ticket to get heard. And they were so corrupt that it was said that you could buy justice from a judge for a pound of meat. Now, I don't know, I mean, ribeye maybe, but so if you wanted to get hooked up, you'd have to bring something. And so this woman comes, and he doesn't want anything to do with her. He doesn't even want to listen to her. And what was funny, he says, I'm going to give her an answer, lest she beat me up and attack me. I think maybe the New King James says, weary me. But the Greek word, when you're looking at that, means black eye, meaning that this judge is scared of this little old Jewish widow, that she's going to come and rock his world. I don't know if she's been on steroids, taking MMA classes, like getting all hyped out in the gym, but whatever the case is, this judge is deathly afraid that this woman who's stalking him, she's stalking him for an answer nonstop. It's like she's calling his secretary. Yeah, is Judge Bill in? Who's this? And then she'd say her name. Okay, 1 second, they put her through. And then she'd call back the next day. Yeah, is the judge in? Who's this? Oh, it's his doctor, right? And then he'd pick up and he'd find out it's this woman. She's totally stalking him and she's going to get an answer one way or another that judge is going to do what she wants. But here's the contrast, and what we need to get is that prayer is not God aligning with our plan, but prayer is us aligning with God's, right? So again, we're like this woman in her persistence, is what Jesus says, but we're totally unlike her in the other area. And God is nothing like this judge who finally gives in to the woman because of what she wants. Thank God he doesn't give in to what we want all the time when we want it. And so now it says that in verse 9, Jesus closes this section out with really, really how to come to God and how to have an attitude about it. Because this woman's got the whole, I mean, if we were just looking at that, that woman's not a very good example. And so what Jesus does is in verse 9 of chapter 18, he gives a picture of two different people coming to God. And the one guy that he gives a picture of, he literally is not praying to anybody but to himself. How arrogant. How crazy. Could you imagine praying to you? I mess my life up. You mess your life up. We pray to ourselves. Is that nuts? That's exactly what this guy does. He's going to the temple, he's going to pray, but the Bible says his prayers don't go past the ceiling. What a scary thought to think you can spend time in prayer and it sinks like a brick and goes nowhere. This is what happens. It says in verse 9, it says that to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. That cracks me up. I mean, do you know how the level of creepy you've got to be to start your prayer out with, God, I'm so thankful I'm better than everybody around me? And it says that, he says, he looked down on everyone else, and he said, two men went up to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee and the other tax collector. And the Pharisee stood by himself, prayed, God, thank you, I'm not like other people, like robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. For I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of everything I got. I'm a good guy. I'm going to church. I'm giving my tithes. I'm helping. I'm doing work days. You know, I'm checking my list and making sure my list is checked and I got all the answers. Everything's in the right place. In verse 13, it says, but the tax collector, who's in total contrast to this guy, stood at a distance and he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So when this section starts out, and the Jews are listening to this, it's almost like when you go to the movies and you've seen the movie 1,000 times, and in 5 minutes, you know how the story's going to end. You just do. And it's kind of a waste on even going. And when Jesus starts giving this movie in their mind about two people coming to God and praying, the Jews already know the ending. There's a righteous Pharisee who's done everything like he's supposed to do. He's a good Christian. And then you get somebody that comes into the picture, this tax collector, and we all know how they felt about tax collectors back then. Obviously, we love them now, but back then, it was a different deal, right? The way they made their money is whatever they could get off the top of what you got taxed, that's how they made their living. Could you imagine, just if you own your own business or, you know, you pay taxes, they send you a bill for $2,000. And you're like, this stinks. Like, it's always going up. What the heck? I thought I was getting all these credits. It's never going down. It's always going up. And all you got is $2,000. And you send $2,000. And then your IRS agent goes, yeah, but you know what? I need about $500 too. I mean, like, your first thought would probably be lay hands on them and pray, right? I'm going to pray over you. No, but you're going to give me $500. Why? Because I said. So people really didn't care for these guys much back then, not much more than we care for them today. And so what Jesus is doing is basically he's setting this up like this. There was two people that went into a church, Mother Teresa and Miley Cyrus. And as we're listening to that, we're thinking, oh, I know who God's going to be listening to. Because Mother Teresa don't know nothing about twerking. Right? I mean, she's good. She does a lot. She's given her life to the Lord. Miley Cyrus is going bonkers. And we know how the story's going to end, right? Because we would know, hey, who do you think God would listen to more? I mean, after all, Mother Teresa gave her life in service and serving the Lord and all the things that she had done for the Lord, right? But here's the thing about it. God wouldn't listen to Mother Teresa any more than Miley Cyrus because of what Mother Teresa did, but because of the blood that she came to God through, Jesus Christ, right? I was reading that and I thought, if I was in a room waiting to go into the presence of God, and in that room was only me and Billy Graham, and only one of us is getting in, my first thought wasn't, sorry for you, Billy, I'm going to be praying, right? My first thought was, man, I'm done. I'm a mess. I mean, I've got a life, a history that could show you. Billy's in all the way. But you know what? If I was to ask you the question, who would go, you or Billy, the answer, Jesus says, is both, because it's by the blood. We're good. We're good with God. Right now, because of the resurrection and Christ forgiving our sin, do you know before that, there was you, me, sin, and God. When Jesus came, he removed that sin to where now we have a perfect relationship with God because there's no sin between us. But Jason, you don't know what I did on Friday night. No, I know, but that sin has been removed. Do you understand that? But Jason, man, last week, this is happening, going on in my life. It happened again. I've done it again. This is happening, whatever. Do you know the sin is removed from you if you're a child of God? There's no sin there between you and God, no matter what you did Friday night, no matter what you did last week, no matter what you're going to do. Do you know that there's no sin between you two anymore? None. Because of the blood. And so Jesus says that it was this tax collector who went home justified. Worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this. And so he was thinking, the Pharisee, he was thinking that God would hear him because of all of his good deeds. And I was praying over you guys when I hit that, because I said, Lord, I just don't think people in our church start out their prayer with how good they are. Like, we have a bunch of rebels here. I think they understand pretty well where we're all at. That's not their problem. But sometimes I wonder that we think that we're going to have a better connection with God because we sing a little louder, we give a little more, we came to church today, so now I can come to God and I can pray about what's really impressed on my heart. But you know what? You can do that at any time in your life. And as we close this out this morning, I want you guys, you know, when we put messages together, I always try to think of when I'm doing my devotions, what's a word that I can think of that will remind me of what we just talked about for 30 minutes. And here's the word that God gave me. And I want you guys to just write this down. It's going to blow your mind. Pray. That's the word. Pray. Stay persistent in prayer. So would you guys stand with me? We're going to close out. And I want to pray over you guys this morning. And you know, I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you've had to come to God shaking your fist and demanding your way, and he's got to do it, and it's got to be now, and it's got to be this way, and you come shaking your fist. Let me just encourage you. You don't have to do it that way. You've got a loving Father who cares about you. But I would suggest that instead of shaking your fist, you bow your knee and you say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You know, and when we do that, that's when God steps in. And I'm always reminded that when the Lord isn't answering my prayer, I've learned to do one thing, to look at what he's doing in me when he's not changing what I'm asking him to change. And you know, you'll see God changing you when nothing changes. And that's your season, by the way, to grow. You know, or maybe you're here and you're just like, man, you're kind of like that tax collector. And I really identify with the tax collector guy, because there's times where I'll mess up and I just don't want to pray because I don't think it's going to work. I just think, man, you know, not this time. And that's the devil. If you're here this morning and your thought is not this time, every other time I could come, but not this time, that's Satan. And God wants us to come to him. And Jesus said it was this tax collector who went home justified, meaning just as if you've never sinned a day in your life. How beautiful is that, to walk out of here clean as can be? Or maybe you don't even know how to pray. That's true too. I take granted prayer sometimes in people's lives. I think, man, everybody knows how to pray. Yesterday, Randall and I went to the hospital here for someone we love very much. He's a young kid, 23 years old, never had a good start in life, abusive parents, never around when he needed them. You know what I mean? Just didn't have a good start. No support in his life whatsoever. He's been on the streets doing his thing, but I love this kid so much. And he's gotten into meth and all kinds of dope. And me and Vicky have seen this boy since he was 8 years old. Now he's 23 and he's just gone. He's in the hospital because he was taking off his shoes and his clothes and stuff and walking out in the middle of the forest. And so Randall called me up and jammed down there and went into his hospital room, this kid, and he's pacing. He's pacing back and forth. He's shaking his head. He just looked like an animal in a cage. Where do I go? How do I get out of here? We sat down with him for about an hour and I just told him the gospel and I said, hey man, listen, this is what's going on. You've been living this life of sin. And I'm telling you this because I love you and I want to see this cycle broken today. And I just told him, I said, man, you know what you need to do to fix this? I said, the next program you go to is never going to work. The next system, program, help, whatever they do to you from here on out is not going to help. I said, you're beyond that. Because you've gone to programs and you've left them. You've gone to jail and you're back in it. It doesn't fix it. Nothing fixes it. I said, this is a deal. You need to give your life to the Lord today. And you know what he said? And this blew my mind. He said, Jason, I don't know how to do it. And I was like, listen, man. All you need to do is come before the Lord and tell him to forgive you of your sins and that you're sorry and that you want him to set up as king in your life and that you're going to submit to him and not your way anymore and ask him to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. He's like, do I lay on the bed or what? I mean, he just didn't have any clue. And I'm like, you can stand up, lay down, whatever you want to do. And you know what he did? He just backed up against the wall. And he said, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you. And I'm so sorry. Pray that you fill me up with your Holy Spirit. And he did that. And he gave his life to the Lord right there in that hospital room. And it was like after he did that, church, he was in his right mind. And I just wanted to tell you guys that story because if you're in that place right now and you're feeling like, man, I just can't come to the Lord. Yes, you can. And the Lord wants to fill you up too. So let's pray. Father, that's our word for the day is pray. We need to be a praying people, Lord. Father, we need to be a people that turns our face to you, God, when we're freaking out and we're scared. When we've fallen back into sin, Lord. When we're doing stuff that we know is not right, God. And we get in this cycle to where we feel like we just can't even come back because we've gone back so far. And your word says that that's a lie, that nobody's so far beyond your reach that you can't save. So, Lord, this morning, as a church, we come before you and say, forgive us. Pray that you change us. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Get us back on track, God. Lead us in our life, Lord. And may we have a life of prayer. And as your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, I just want to ask you this question. What is the one thing in your life that you need to be praying about the most that you've been praying about the least? God wants you to stoke that back up right now. We love you, Lord. We thank you. You're so good. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.